Hey, CCV, I want to welcome everyone on all of our 10 Valley campuses, those of you joining online. This weekend, we're kicking off a brand new series called Nemesis. And as we kick off the series, you are in for an incredible treat. What I like to do on occasion is bring in powerful and dynamic voices that God is speaking through and ask them to speak into our church. And we have one of those voices this weekend. His name is Eric Bowles. And it's very fitting he's here because it's Super Bowl weekend, and Eric spent many years playing in the NFL. He played for the Green Bay Packers and the New York Jets, but when Eric left the NFL, he began speaking at churches. He's a powerful preacher, but he also became a leadership consultant. He works with some of the top organizations around the world, IBM, Barclays, Nordstrom, to name a few. But what I believe is going to happen this weekend is I believe he's going to open God's Word, and we're going to hear him speak into our lives, and I think we're going to walk away changed. Would you help me give a huge CCV welcome to our friend, Eric Bowles.
Well, hello, CCV. Do me a favor, can we give the Lord God we serve a great hand? Can we give God a hand? Can we do that? We always want to start off that way, as His Word says, we are to enter His courts with praise and with thanksgiving. So we want to start off with that. But if you don't mind, I'm going to also find out, is there any New York Jet fans in the room, watching, anywhere? Wow. Okay. Well, I got one. Thank you. Thank you. Whoever's watching, thank you. Whoever's making some noise. Are there any Green Bay Packer fans in the house? If you are, make some noise. Okay. Now, I need you to be honest with me. Are there any people in the house who can't stand the Green Bay Packers? Make some noise. Yeah, I get that a lot, but I'm not angry with you. They cut me, so I'm with you, right? I'm with you, okay? They cut me. I was just enjoying when Pastor Ashley mentioned my time in the NFL. He said a number of years, but you got to realize, I think there's a biblical scripture that says one day is like a million years or a thousand years to God, and a thousand years is like one day. Well, in the NFL, it kind of works the same way, right? NFL stands for not for long, okay? And so I was very grateful for my experience there. I wasn't there a long time. But I was there long enough to discover some things. So I'm going to use some of those stories as we go through today. Can I just say, I'm just so grateful to be here. I'm grateful for this opportunity. I want to prepare you, though. It's my personality. It's kind of how I'm wired. I'm a coach by nature. Yes, I am bringing a message. Yes, I'm preaching. My grandfather was a preacher. My uncles were preachers. My father was a preacher. I got cousins who was preachers. So it's kind of in the family. But also, I got that coaching dynamic in me. So here's what I need, even before I get started, a couple things. One is permission. Do I have your permission to be authentic, to be real? Do I have your permission for that? Just want to make sure. Okay, great. So you notice I brought a towel with me. It's because when I get excited, I start sweating. Actually, if I think too hard, I start sweating, okay? My mom says it's because I'm special, but you know how moms are, right? Try to make everything good, right? But the other thing that I ask of each one of you is, if you're a note taker today, I'm going to ask that you take notes, okay? If you're a note taker, I'm going to ask that you take notes. If you're not a note taker, I'm going to ask that you take notes. Okay, I'm going to ask that you take notes. Now, keep this in mind. I'm not interested, nor is it important that you write down what you hear me say. Actually, what's far more valuable is, what does the Lord put on your heart when something's said? Sometimes it's just one word, it's one idea, it's one thought, but you don't want to miss it when it's there. Sometimes it's just in a whisper, but it's important. the number of messages, sermons, inspiring moments that cross our path consistently, many times they're enough to really completely change our lives, but we miss them. I heard one person say once, like, you know, a short pencil's better than a long memory. That's pretty accurate, especially as I'm getting older, okay? So here's what I'm gonna ask that you do. Just fully focus with me, engage with me as we go into this series called Nemesis. Now, I'm gonna talk today about abundance versus scarcity. Abundance versus scarcity. I'm gonna talk about the mindset of abundance. We're gonna talk about the mindset of scarcity. Now, even before I jump into it, I want you to know an abundant mindset, as the Bible describes it, as it discusses it, as it talks about it, as it reveals itself to us, abundant mindset does not come naturally. You have to do it on purpose. You have to work for it. It takes effort. Now, I live in the Pacific Northwest, and I will tell you, if you want beautiful grass, well, we get a lot of rain up there, right? But if you want a beautiful yard, you have to do it on purpose. I don't remember planting a weed one time. Still don't remember. But somehow they continue to show up. But what I do want to see in my yard, in my garden, it has to be done on purpose. So the Bible is full of tools, principles that tell us how to live victoriously. The Bible says, John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and life more abundantly. I didn't just come to give you life to survive, understand something. I came to give you life to thrive. Now, I am not talking when I talk about abundant mentality and when I talk about scarcity. Please do not compartmentalize this to think I'm just talking about money. I'm not. Will I describe money and talk about money? Yes. Why do I like to talk about money? Why do I like to talk about a lot of issues? I like to talk about stuff that people are emotionally invested in so they don't treat a message with indifference. My father used to tell me, Wise, my father was a pastor for 48 years. He was 91 years old when he passed away. And I remember he said all the time, he said, son, there's two things that impact our believers in such a strong way, our Christians in such a strong way. I said, what's that? He goes, sex and money. And it's the two things nobody likes talking about, yet it's two things that we need to deal with. And the best place to talk about it is in church. Why? Because the word does. I'm not talking about sex today. Say amen. But I am talking about money, okay, in reference to that. So there's a couple places I'm going to come from when I dig into it, but let me begin by, first of all, talking about an abundant mentality versus a scarcity mentality. Now, using this example, my wife, and I'm like many of you, like all of you husbands in here, I'm married way up, like way up, okay? I'll kick my coverage, okay? But because of that, my wife does not struggle with feedback. So family and I, we go to Disneyland. This is when my girls were young, my two daughters, Taylor and Madison. Taylor's 23 years old, Madison's 19 now, but this is when they were, you know, 12 and 8. Okay? So we're at Disneyland, and we're going through Disneyland, and, they're buying stuff. Well, my wife is buying stuff, like a lot of stuff. And as we're walking by stores and, you know, and stuff, and finally, you know, instead of just blatantly, you know, causing a problem, I try to subtly give a message. Like, honey, you know there's a Disney store off the premises that you can get that same thing for like 50% off. Because that balloon that costs $18, this is just something about a balloon costing $18. I got a problem with that. Well, the day continues on. So it gets to a point where I can't take it, so I go back to my room. And then I never forget, my youngest daughter, Madison, at the time, still kind of that personality, you know. Some of you have these children, you know, the child that you have where everybody else is just supporting actors in their world. You got that child, you know. That's my Madison. So she walks in, kicks the door open, boom, Daddy, look. And just bags in her hands, you know. She's like, Daddy, I got to show you. And I'm like, all right. And then my older daughter, Taylor, walks in. That's, you know, the one who really takes care of me. She's very high emotional IQ, you know, high emotional intelligence. She can see my face. So she set her bags in the hallway. And then lastly comes walking in my wife. Boom! Honey, you got to see everything I got. Well, I see the watch, I see the jacket, I see the hat with lights flashing on Mickey's ears. You got more than that. She was like, oh, yes. And she started showing me. I was like, you know, in my subtle way, I was like, can I see the receipt? That was my subtle way, right? And then this is what my wife said to me. She says, honey, you have a problem. You have a scarcity mentality. And you and the Lord need to do something about it, because I don't have that problem, but you do. Now, you would think, you know, that that wasn't a problem, but I usually have, and some men here know what I'm talking about, we have a tendency to be a far more rationalizing than rational. We gather information to prove that our belief isn't crazy, right? So I was like, honey, this is just not smart. And she was like, well, first of all, hold on. She goes, are you telling us that if I were to do all these things, that, you know, we're like a mortgage would be in trouble or something like that? I was like, no. And she goes, then what's the problem? If we couldn't afford to be in Disneyland, we shouldn't be here. She goes, your problem is, honey, you're cheap. I said, honey, I call it good stewardship. You call it, I tried to spiritualize it. Now, here's why I'm kind of joking about it. It isn't about Disneyland. It isn't about anything. But this, I heard from a mentor who told me this. He says, Eric, how you do one thing is kind of how you do everything. And he says, this attitude that you have around scarcity, around money, around believing what's in your hands belongs to you, or it doesn't just impact Disneyland. It impacts a whole ton of areas. Let me just tell you right now, I've ruined plenty of vacations. I made many of dinners uncomfortable. I thought it was because we didn't have much money. Because at times in my playing days, people were like, but you played in the NFL. Yes, I played in the NFL. Made money. Lost all of it. Had to start again. And then I had a fear of being broke. And then when I was broke, I had a fear that I would never have enough money. And then when I got more money, I had a fear that I was going to lose it. So the amount of money in the account had nothing to do with abundance. I was just as afraid with resources as I was without it. And I thought money was the issue. No, it was my mindset. Now keep something in mind. I'm already a believer. I've said yes to Jesus. My father, that good, good father of mine, owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the world is his, and the fullness thereof belongs to my daddy. My daddy, who's giving me breath every single day, I'm here because of him. I'm still holding tight to these little possessions called money. Now, again, keep in mind, this isn't about money. It's about my heart. And I promise you, I'm not having this conversation to you to convince all of you need to give more money to CCV. That's not what this is about. This is a heart issue. This is not a resource issue. The problem is we've confused the resource with who the actual source is. And that's what I want to make sure we get through to you today. Now, keep something in mind. I'm already aware. This is one of the most generous group of people in the country. I'm aware of the impact this church, that CCV has on the community around here, the things you all do. So here's what you got to understand. I know I'm speaking to the best. But I want you to understand this so nobody gets offended or looked at me sideways. I'm speaking to the greatness in you, not the weakness. I'm speaking to the part of you who's already doing it, and let you know, we're going to double down. We're going to even release more, not necessarily about resources, but our trust and our faith that what happens when we truly function from a place of abundance. The way I like to describe it is this way. Instead of spending all my time praying for victory and playing for victory and hoping for victory, I start realizing I'm playing from victory. I'm praying from victory. I'm functioning from victory, that I already win. Do you know the kind of confidence you live with when you already know that you win? And there's times as believers we forget that we already read the end of the story. The book tells us we win, yet we function every day like something, some big surprise. So I want to make sure we deal with that today. So let's begin with the first statement or principle I want to speak to, which is the scarcity versus abundant mindset. So if you got your Bibles, you'll see the scripture up here, Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 9 and 10. So let's bring up that scripture. It says, verse 9, it says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. 2 points I want to make about this. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then, the key word is then, your barns will be filled to overflowing. Little coaching point. The honor the Lord with your first fruits in the giving, that is the cause. The barns being filled with plenty and vats being filled with new wine is the effects. What's the root? What's the fruit? And the reason I always wonder, God, why do you want our first fruits? Like, why do I got to give it first? The first of my money. He's like, I'm just not talking about your first of your money. I'm talking about the first of you. He says, don't you realize? He goes, this is no different than what Jesus says in John chapter 6. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, then all things shall be added unto you. What we have the tendency to do is chase the all things. Then we see God complaining that we haven't got the all things. When we don't realize that the order is off. And it's not about the things. For myself personally, what I was realizing, it's like, man, I'm out of order here. And the question is, why? Then I had an experience. My father always believed it was important that you teach lessons in real life. And so my daughter got an experience, my oldest daughter, Taylor, when she was 5 years old. So Taylor and I, she wanted to go to McDonald's. And so I took her to McDonald's. We go through the drive-thru. She's 5 years old now. And she, you know, get the Happy Meal, cheeseburger Happy Meal. So I get the cheeseburger Happy Meal with a toy, some fries, and it has a drink in it. And so this time, I wanted my baby to feel a little older, a little bigger. So I decided instead of giving her one thing at a time, I handed her the whole bag. And so I gave her the bag, and in the middle of this moment, the fries smell really good. So Daddy says, Tay, can Daddy get some fries? Yes, it was just as quiet. I heard no answer. And then all of a sudden, I look through my rearview mirror and I see my little girl going through her fry bag looking for something to give me. And this is what she ended up with. Pull up that French fry for me if you would. Now, this isn't a story about French fry. Please follow me here, though. I had to go, well, baby, that's like the French fry you find in your car under the chair. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not the fry from the commercial, right? Now, I was like, okay, we're going to have to have a teaching moment, a coaching moment. And I get it. And the Bible says, whom God loves, he reproves, right? So sometimes we got to get a little corrected. So I said, baby, first of all, Daddy loves you. That ain't a question. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time trying to convince you of that. Your life should show that, okay? But here's what you got to understand. Something changes for some reason when what we need to give touches our hands first. Let that resonate. My little girl in trying to give me one little fry, did not realize that the reason she has fries in the first place is because of me. So more importantly, honey, technically those fries ain't even yours. And because you don't understand this, now keep something in mind, honey. These fries are for you. This cheeseburger is for you. This drink is for you. This toy is for you. But because you have not matured enough to understand the source of your resources, I'm going to have to delay you getting any of it. And that's what happened. Now she was like, I said, babe, you know why I've kept this? Because you like French fries? No, baby. I know, I can get as many fries as I want. This isn't for me, it's for you. Now, without needing to make all kinds of connections, why is it that when it comes to some areas of our lives, we're trusting God, we're relying on God, we're believing God, I want you to bless this situation that I can't fix. Lord, I want to trust you when it comes to that health issue. Lord, I lost my job, Lord. I want to trust you when it comes to that. But all of a sudden, when it comes to things that are actually in our hands, like resources, money, do you know when you give, it is a tangible expression of your faith? Everything else we kind of believe for, I mean, look, but that is real. That is something we actually have to turn around and give back. It represents, it says to God, God, all this is yours. It's a reminder, not of people around, but of you, of myself, when I give, that it's all his in the first place. And his word says, when I get that mindset in me, then the behavior will follow. Is this making any sense? Now, the reason this is so critical, regardless of where you're at right now, this is a game changer. It isn't about more money in the bank account. It isn't about my vat filled with new wine. It's about the one thing that I've realized I don't get enough of, which is peace of mind. Some of us right now may have more resources in our lives than we've ever had before, with more anxiety and worry than we've ever had before. So to turn around and believe, if I just had more, it'd be easier, that is not the truth. I mean, when I first heard the concept of giving, I was like, man, and my mentor would say, if you're struggling giving $10 out of 100, do you really believe it's gonna be easier giving 10,000 out of 100,000? I said, it doesn't work like that. This is why when the Lord says, when you show me, when you're faithful over a few things, I'll make you rule over many. But when you don't give God what's his, part of the pain of this is your fear and anxiety. And God's like, you're not supposed to be living with this fear and anxiety. Now, follow this here. Where right now in your life do you need to give God your first fruits? And it may not be resources, it might just be time. How do you win the start of your day? Who gets the beginning of your day? Twitter? The news? Worry? Anxiety? Or does God Almighty, who's already told you, I got you. I got you covered. He says, but seek me first. Some of us, even when we have challenges and go through something, here's what I've learned about myself. It's amazing. Many times when you want to find out what you really believe, just watch your reactions to problems. A problem hits me. And I realize before I even pray, I call like three people. Why am I calling them first? Why am I not calling on the Lord first? He's already told me so clearly. Philippians chapter 4, don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about anything, but pray about everything. And then he says, when you make your request made known to God, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will come upon your heart. There's some of us right now think, I have a money problem. No, you got a peace problem. I have a relationship problem. No, you have a peace problem. And you think by chasing a relationship or chasing the money or chasing this, that takes care of it. No, when you can release stuff and trust that God, the God of this universe, who loves you, who's proven if he will give his son to you, you think he's going to hold back on anything else? Now, I'm saying this because that scarcity mindset is the thing that gets in our way. So it's important. We got to go from a scarcity mindset to an abundant one. Pull up the next point if you would. Abundance is fed by faith. Scarcity is fed by fear. Abundance is fed by faith. Scarcity is fed by fear. I remember, I got to tell you, attitude, belief, this stuff is contagious now, right? And here's what I know. When I spent so much time in fear and worried and fearful, I don't like, and I hate to say this, but there's some people I don't like being around. Like, I don't like being around abundant thinkers when I'm consumed with scarcity. I like to hang out with people who function like me so I don't feel so bad. And so I remember when I put the Jets with my Jets, and my number was 18, and I had a buddy who was number 81. And anytime you watch film, you saw us standing right next to each other. And guess where we were standing? On the bench. Anytime you watch film, you saw 1,881 or 8,118. And we were standing next to each other doing the one thing we did real well, complaining. Complaining why we weren't playing, complaining there wasn't enough playing time, complaining that the coach didn't want to win, complaining that if he wondered when he would play us. Then I had a conversation with my father. Took care of that real quick. It's like, well, son, clearly if his job depends on winning and you're not playing, you might want to start thinking, what do you need to do to get on the field? But here's what I understood. I wasn't hanging around the ones who were actually balling. I didn't hang around the stars on the team, Al Toon, and the ones who were making big plays. I didn't hang around, you know, the players. I found people who made me comfortable functioning with a scarcity mindset or consumed by fear. My challenge to you right now is there anybody around you allowing you to be comfortable living at a level far beneath what Jesus has died for? My grandma used to say all the time, we live so far beneath our privilege if we only believe what he said. Do you know what God's greatest joy is? To be believed, that you believe them. But we are worried and stressed about resources and finances and treat it like it's normal. And then when somebody says, don't worry about that, man, God has to take care of it. Oh, God, here we go. Do you got a better answer? Like, is there a better place to go that you're aware of? Right? Here's the emphasis that I don't want to give to you. It is all about your abundance being fed by faith, not by fear. Turn with me to that last scripture with 2 Corinthians chapter 9. It says, remember this, key phrase, follow this now, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. It's not enough to just see the scripture. When you see the word sow, those who have either grew up or farms have been around it. Sow means this is something you have to do ahead of time. What happens too often, even as believers, we complain at harvest time because there's nothing. But you got to realize if you sow nothing in sowing season, there's a good chance that it's not going to be a lot during harvest season. Everybody wants to sow, right? Reggie White, the great Reggie White. When I got to be on his team, but God rest his soul before he passed away. Great, one of the greatest defensive linemen of all time. But Reggie used to mention it all the time. But it was a great statement where he used to emphasize to us, listen, fellas, champions are celebrated in the light, but they're made in the dark. They're made when no one's looking. They're made ahead of time. Everybody wants to celebrate the Super Bowl winner. Oh God! But you know when these guys earned it? It was in the offseason. You know when nobody was looking. It's the amount of time they spent in behind the scenes. An abundant experience, abundant result. Those are results But the fruit is those results. But the root is the time you spend in your word believing God's promises. Believing he will do for you what he says he will do. When he tells you, trust in me and lean not to your own understanding. He means that. He's looking at you like, I got you. How do you even think you got to where you are right now? And if I brought you here, you think I'm going to turn around and leave you there? That's not how he works. So the minute we start resting in the fact that he's abundant, he got us, all of a sudden, those things that I'm holding on to, I begin to let go because I realize it's faith that feeds my abundance, not my fear. My faith that he will do what he says because he's always done what he says is what moves me to let go of things that I've been holding on to. It's my faith that when I love my wife with abundance, when I love my girls, when I share, when I give whatever it is I got, that what comes back to me will be overwhelming because we got a really good father. But if we don't get that in our mindset, all of a sudden my beliefs and my actions, they're incongruent. And it says in the book of James, a double-minded man should expect nothing from God. God's like, I just want you to believe me. I pray, I believe, I know for a fact that I'm speaking to the best, and the best always want to get better. It's my nature. I'm a big believer. If you're going to go to the weight room, you might as well get something done. So I'm also a believer. If you come to church, I want to make sure I walk out with something that allows me to be even better than I was. So here's my question. I like you guys say this even better, CCV. Here's the takeaway. Do an assessment on where you are right now. You don't need to be sick to get better, and to become great doesn't mean you're not already good. So you don't have to look for areas of your life that may be broken or whatever. No, I'm just talking about right where you are right now. Is the Holy Spirit speaking to your heart that there's some areas of my life I can be far more abundant versus being functioning by scarcity? That I can free myself, I can give more, I can share more. And many times, an abundant act isn't just resources. It might be love. I can be more abundant with my praise. I can be more abundant with my encouragement. Men in here, we can be more abundant with our attention to our wives and watch what we get in return. That scripture, first fruits, it works. We can be more abundant with those who we lead and who we serve. In this community, how can we be even more abundant than we already are? And what's incredible about it is the kind of what we get in return. One person said to me once, they're like, Eric, you know what's really cool? Is that when we do the right thing, you put your money in and you sow, it collects compound interest. I said, I'm aware of that. But what's even more powerful is when we sow seeds, it collects compound faith. And if you ever want to see an incredible return, do that. That's a game changer. Come on, church, pray with me if you would. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you. We thank you for what you do in our lives. We thank you for what you've done in our lives. But Lord God, we also are excited that you're going to do new things in our lives. Our past doesn't limit what you're going to do to our future. And so, Lord God, we're going to double down in our confidence and our belief that you're going to do exactly what the scripture says. Lord, we're going to give you the first fruits, not only of our resources, but of our time, of our prayer, of our attention, of our commitment, and we're going to watch what you bring back to us will overwhelm us with abundance. Father, I ask you to meet every single need here. Lord, we love you and we love what you're doing for CCV. Continue to make them just the light that they are in this entire community. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Let the whole church say, amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for having me. God bless you. Thank you.